Coming up on TMS, Sex with Hitler 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Come with me and we'll be in a world of purist syndication.
Four Seasons Dildo Shop.
The cost of getting your soul back.
2 degrees of the wrong bacon.
300 kilometers per mile.
23 reasons the 90s made you ugly.
It's so hard to be a serial killer these days.
His mustache was the first thing that caught my eye.
Two old guys trying to remember shit.
Kidney Playmate.
From Boulder to Grindr.
Nipple Slipple.
The Accidental Steam Deck.
If you're a person with Amy and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
This ship doesn't go anywhere except in circles, but it does have a color TV, stereo sound, a built-in bar, and a wireless phone. It also has a price tag of $32,000 delivered.
Dick Francisco.
The Morning Stream.
Oh, yeah, that's quite a story.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to TMS. It's Thursday, December 29th, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Nibbett. Brian, we're so close. It's like, look at that, 29. Yeah. It'll roll over one more time and then one more time.
Right.
And then 2023.
That's right. Yeah.
The year of Diablo 4 is upon us. Very exciting.
If only somebody was doing a show about that.
I know. If only somebody in this damn place was excited about Diablo. It's creeping up quick, though. I don't know. 2022, I say this every year lately, I feel like, but man, it went fast. So fast. Mm-hmm. We had Vegas this year, right?
We did, yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't feel like we did.
I put you all through hell. To try and figure out a math problem.
It feels soon. It feels recent and then far away. It's weird. Yeah. I don't know. Time. I'm wrestling with time is what's going on right now. I'm having a bit of a wrestle.
And, I'm already trying to figure out, you know, I need to reach out to all of you potential contestants for Taskmaster Vegas, because with the with our show night, our live TMS being in the middle as opposed to the last thing, that gives us a little bit less time to edit, so I might need you guys to come in Sunday, if possible.
I think
so talk about that.
I think we might be coming in Sunday.
Oh, good. Think. All right, excellent.
Yeah. That is what we were thinking. We were considering the St. George thing again, but this time we were thinking about it on the tail end. So Vegas,
nice.
Then chill out in St. George, and then go home. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Cool. You know, those people there in St. George, they'll just have to wait and see. You know, if I go to the best Taco Bell on the planet, well, you'll have to wait until April to find out.
You can always stop there on, you know, you have to still go through St. George on the way to Vegas. You can get Taco Bell on the way in and Taco Bell on the way out.
That's right. And honestly, I don't eat that much of Taco Bell anymore, but if you're in St. George, the main Taco Bell there on the main road there, I don't know, they're doing something right. All right, so we got a show. We're going to do the whole thing. We don't have Wendy today, but we do have Read This with Amy. That'll happen during Wendy's slot, so watch for that. Do you remember we've talked about him, in fact, recently, the video professor. We've talked about this guy.
Yes.
You may be familiar with this right here.
Try our product. Try my product. Try my product. Try my product.
That was his whole thing at the end of his thing, right? Try my product.
Yeah.
And he was teaching, it was the early 90s. The guy was teaching you how to use Word and Excel,
right, exactly.
And
here's
Windows.
How you open a folder.
Yep.
Here's how
Windows.
Your personal computer.
That is exactly right. And he had all these like different, and he branched out later. Like when the internet happened, he was like, eBay. There's a whole disc on eBay and things like this.
Right.
So anyway, I always just was fascinated by that dude. And I don't know why, I just was. And I found his old call and get advice on computer help number. And I want to try it today. Now, I haven't pre-tried it, so this could be Capone's vault.
Okay. Oh, my God, yeah.
We might have a Capone's vault problem where nothing happens.
Right, it could easily be. Yeah. Ask your uncle.
Yeah, no kidding. I just watched listened to a really good podcast about that.
Really?
That whole mess, yeah. It actually, we all think of it as this like massive failure, because it was. Mm. But it single-handedly catapulted the production company who sold it to the... by the way, that was syndication. The main networks wouldn't carry it. That was pure syndication.
Right. That's right.
Which I forgot all about. And it was a flop from that perspective. But it was so watched by so many millions of people that it catapulted both that production company, which was, by the way, run by Doug Llewellyn, of all people.
Oh, my God. The People's Court narrator dude.
This guy, right? Yeah. That dude. So
how did it feel when you lost your case about the dog pooping in your front yard?
Exactly. So he makes you know, bank on this deal way more than they expected, and everybody wanted them now because this was such a huge hit from a numbers perspective. That was purely what they were looking at. Was not a failure in the eyes of the executives. And then, what's his name? Geraldo. Almost called him Gerardo, which would have been...
Gerardo, sure, because he's Rico Ansley.
Yeah, of course. He was like at a low point of his career. He was like on his way out, and he thought he was screwed after this. He went and drank at a bar all night and was like so pissed about how it turned out. And anyway, the next morning, his agent is like ringing his phone off the hook. People are wanting to hire Geraldo left and right. That guy went from like washed out ex-CBS guy to like suddenly everybody wanted him. Not in the best possible way. Like his TV show he got was bad, you know.
It was, yeah.
But he made a lot of money. So it just depends on how you measure it.
Basically, he went from being like, you know, semi-respectable journalist to your go-to guy if you needed something sensational.
Yeah. And when he had his show, it was always like, we've got a girl on today who says that an alien molested her cow. Right. You know, we're going to talk to that guy. Yeah. So anyway, it was fascinating. I highly recommend it. It's part of that... that 1 year show from Slate where they just the whole season is about 1 year in time. They did from 42 and this one was from 86.
And that's why you're so good at years, is because you watch stuff like that where it's all kind of encapsulated into one thing.
I hadn't thought of that. That's true though. I guess I do. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I glom onto that stuff. But anyway, 86 is a crazy year. A lot of weird stuff happened. So check out that show. Anyway, point is
Video Professor.
This guy, Video Professor. We're going to call this number. Which still exists. 800-509-4617.
The number still exists because it's a phone number.
Yeah, the number has never left. But those
digits all currently still exist in our numerical system.
Yeah, whether we get this guy or not.
Try my product.
Is questionable. I don't know.
It'd be great if it just goes right to him.
Oh, if he's just sitting around answering phones, that'd be amazing.
I paid for this phone number in perpetuity, so I'm just going to use it as my basic home phone number.
I did a little look, and he's still like doing stuff. He's still got like a thing you can order, and tell me
that he does YouTube now, and it's always, hey, smash my subscribe button and hit the like if you like this video.
Yeah, you know, he knows all the tricks. That's his thing. Yeah. All right, let's see what happened to this number. I'm going to try it. Whoops, here we go. It's ringing. Good news so far.
Here we go. I'm hearing it.
Yeah,
so that's
we got
good.
A ring. I didn't test this beforehand, so who knows where we're going to go here. All I know is I need help with Word, Excel, and Windows 95, so this better
Hello,
be...
Hello, Four Seasons Dildo Shop. How can I help you?
The Four Seasons has a dildo shop. Where are you going? Yeah, coffee shop? That, I'll be down to the dildo shop. See you
later.
That's
the one that Giuliani set up for that press conference.
Oh! No, that was... What was that called?
Isn't the Four, it was a Four Seasons.
You're right. Four
right?
Seasons...
Merkin sales.
Shit. Landscaping. That's what it was.
Oh, that's right. It was landscaping, but it was next door to a dildo shop.
That's right. That's right. Yes. Yeah, if they would have hosted it at the dildo shop, that would have made everything better.
I knew there was a there was some sort of connection to the
somehow that the dildo existed shop. In that story. So that just rang and rang. Well, that's a bummer. You know?
Yeah, it is a bummer.
I really wanted to know. Can I still?
A big fat nothing burger, Scott.
Well, yeah, but now our careers will take off because what the people perceive as a huge mistake. We made big money just now. We just really killed it. No, I don't know if anyone knows how to get a hold of that dude. In fact, someone in the chat wants to.
Do we want to get hold of him?
I kind
of
do. I don't know why. I'm fascinated by that person. I feel like his mustache was the first thing that caught my eye, and after that, I was like, is he really making money doing this? Are there really people that are just like clamoring for how to use Excel out there, or how to make Windows 3.1 do its thing? Just always blew my mind, that guy. So if anyone knows how we can get a hold of that dude, I'd love it. That'd be great. Okay.
Apparently he sued the internet, according to a Wired article that I don't have time to read right now. But
he sued the internet?
He sued the internet. I mean, of course, it's, you know, a Wired article, so that's the headline. But I was going to comment on how his photo looks like somebody just walked in the door that he wants them to think that he's happy to see them, but he really isn't.
Oh yeah, that guy's got that face for sure.
This photo right there is like, oh, hey, Mildred. Yeah, good to see you. Yeah. Glad you could stop by.
Yeah, that's the face. Here you go, people watching video. There he is. Little small guy in his blue shirt and his yellow tie.
That's one.
Try my product. anyway, so there's that. Anyway. Hey, Brian, how come you look? Yeah. You look a little heavier. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm 21 grams heavier today, Scott. Got on the scale and realized I'm 21 grams heavier.
Weird.
Yeah.
Huh. Wonder what that is. Weird.
You familiar with that movie?
I know the movie exists. I've never seen 21 grams. I assumed it was something about, like when you die, your soul leaves or something.
That's
isn't that the
right
deal? Okay.
And when your soul comes back, you become 21 grams heavier, Scott.
Your soul came back. What happened?
My soul came back.
It's that's good.
Finished. It's been repaired. A new engine has been put into it. I drove it home and it's purring like a kitten.
Nice.
this whole ordeal, right? So, get down there. I get the call that it's ready to be picked up. Like, oh, great. Excellent.
Yeah.
So I say, hey, by the way, what was the final cost on that? Just so I can have the money ready and everything. And he gives me a price that is now $7,600. Which is $1,100 than the original quote of $6,500, and then still higher than the revised quote that was $6,800.
That's not like, that's not just it's not $50. That's a lot.
Exactly. That's like, oh yeah, we also figured we'd fix this, or this thing needed to be repaired or whatever. So I said, no, that's not happening. You guys quoted me $6,800. The last updated quote was $6,800. He says, okay, hold on. Let me talk to my manager and see what we can do.
Yeah.
So he calls me back in 15 minutes. And he says, oh, yeah, we got some of our numbers wrong. Yeah, it's 6,800.
What?
I'm like, what the hell? Like, you guys are totally, like, dicking me around and tried to get another. What? Does somebody else need a swimming pool there?
Dude, that is some dark work there. I don't like it.
Yeah. So I've got my car back. I want to take a day or two to not be reactionary and flame somebody on the internet, but boy, am I going to leave them a Yelp review, Google review, and I'm going to copy and paste that into a letter to Kia Corporate and Kia Customer Service.
Because that's really, really skeevy business, man. I don't like that at all. Exactly. It'd be one thing if they came back and said, it ended up costing more, but we agree. We told you a price. We should stick to it. Like, that should be your answer.
That should have been the way
we messed up our numbers.
That.
We don't know. Yeah. That makes me wonder if this thing only should have cost you $3,000 and not six,
right.
You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Boo.
But while I was there, and I'm like, you know, I'm saying, geez, all right, well, 7 months, I hope I still remember how to drive, joking, because I've still been driving Tina's car. But he's like, yeah, well, we've got a Kia Optima. Even the Kia Optimas are worse. We've got somebody who's been waiting for their car for 165 days, almost half a year waiting for their car.
That's insane. It's insane. Yeah. What is it? Are these shortages every car or just Kia? Or just Korean motor
I
stuff.
Think every car, because we're going to talk. We've got a letter from somebody later on in the show that talks about, I think, supply chain issues, right?
Yes. Yeah, a little bit.
Hyundai issues.
Yeah, yeah. I just thought all that stuff was, I guess that's more the computer chip stuff that was worked out. Maybe other stuff still.
Yeah, I guess other stuff might still be. I mean, it might be staffing issues all across the board. I don't know. I have no idea. But
boy, I was always told, don't lease, it's a bad deal. But then I hear stories like this. I hear stories like this, and I go, maybe leasing isn't such a bad idea.
Yeah, well, they made a whole character based on that in what was it, Law and Order SVU? Is Lisa Katera?
Oh yeah, that's right.
Because somebody heard a commercial for the Hyundai, or what was it, the Katera? The
I don't remember who that is. Who is it that makes that?
Chicago Hope was the character, I think.
Chicago
Let's
Hope.
Let's see here.
There's a character named Chicago Hope. That's cool.
No, it was a TV show called Chicago.
Oh, you said a character named Chicago.
Oh, I'm sorry. I made a character on Chicago Hope.
No, that's fine. It just sounded great. I want a character named Chicago Hope.
Actress. Never mind. The actress, where is it? It was a Cadillac Katera.
The name's Hope. Chicago
introduced
Hope.
Played by Stacey Edwards on what show? Where is it? It was Chicago Hope?
Was it? I never saw that.
Hold on a second. Lisa Katera, because there it is right there. Okay. Yeah, it was Chicago Hope. Yeah. In 1997, John Tinker, producer of television medical drama Chicago Hope, was inspired by an inadvertent pun in a Katera commercial saying, "Who is Lisa Katera?" in response to the Katera tagline, "Lisa Katera."
No way.
So he introduced a character named Dr. Lisa Katera, played by Stacey Edwards.
I kind of love that. I didn't know that was a thing. That's hilarious. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Who does that? Nobody does that. That's amazing.
Nobody does that.
No, yeah, but why not? You got to have a character name. Why not make it up that way?
Make it up that way? And Lisa Katera is a perfectly believable character name. Hi, I'm Dr. Lisa Katera. Oh, thanks. I'm...
You know what, Hollywood? Have a little more fun like that more often.
I'm,
you know?
Dr. Bias Saturn.
Bias Saturn. No, it'd be Bias...
Bias. Tobias.
Tobias Saturn.
Tobias Saturn.
There you go.
Tobias Saturn.
There you go. It's perfect. I love it. All right. Well, I'm glad you got your car back, but I still think, man, what a stinker.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My posterior is a little sore from that that experience.
It's not cool, man. I feel like that extra hundred or that extra grand, that's not a small thing. That's not a small error. It's a huge error.
Exactly. It's like we forgot to carry the one or something like that. That's like we put the decimal point in the wrong place kind of thing.
Yeah.
But really what it is, damn it, thought we could probably get him to pay a little bit more.
Yeah. What it makes me feel like is, I know this is conspiratorial, but this is the problem with shady work like this, is it makes people second guess everything. But if they're going to say it's an extra grand, is that their way of covering the fact that they're overcharging for this work by like two? So when they overcharge you for a grand and you go, wait a minute, you told me this. And they go, right, we're back to this. And then
that whole method of haggling.
Yes.
Kind of thing.
I hate that. Oh. I'm not even saying they're doing it. I'm just saying this is why people think they're doing it. It's because they do shit like this.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's certainly possible. And it's just, it is just, you know, again, I love my Kia, love my Kia Soul. I would still consider buying another Kia if there was another dealership or a pair place another dealership, because there's something like recalls and things like that need to be done by a dealership, as opposed to we've got a really great mom and pop mechanic that we go to nearby. But for some things, you still need the dealership for warranty work and stuff like that. Mm. But I can't imagine ever going back there.
Yeah, I wouldn't go there again ever. That dealership would be on my crossed off list, you know?
Exactly. Like, I'm gonna go leave a turd on their front porch.
You gotta catch it on fire, though. That's the only way that really sticks, you know?
Yeah, but the problem is that I've got to do it. I mean, you know, I can't set fire to a burning bag of poop and get away with it in at a dealership where there are cameras. So it's got to be left overnight.
Yeah, I don't know how anyone gets away with any of those kind of revenge. Yeah, how do you even do it? You can't do it. Everyone with this video footage of every damn thing that ever happens, always. Yeah. Like when I go to my sister's house, her freaking phone or her security system announces every time I get up to the porch, "Hello and welcome. You're being filmed." It's like, well, I know. You don't need to tell me I'm being filmed.
This is good. We're living in the 2020s here. I know that everything I do is on camera. Like, Person of Interest really had that figured out fairly early on.
Oh yeah, they knew.
And then the dude just got all weird with his opinions, and when I heard that, it kind of gave me a distaste for that show.
Then you were done. That was it.
I was done. Hey, I like Ben Linus.
Yeah, he's cool.
I like that guy. He's great. But, yeah.
You know who I hear is a real jerk?
Who's that?
The actor in Alias who played the main bad guy. Old guy. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's funny. We just saw a TV show where we thought it was that guy, but it was Joel Grey.
Can't think of his name. But he was like a big deal in that show, and he did other stuff. And somebody, what was I reading this? Somebody had to interview some actors or something and just said he was the most miserable, hardest to work with, a-hole, butthole they ever worked with. Yeah.
I want to pull up that guy's name. It's
He was a very interesting actor, but sounds like he's a real pecker.
Whoops. When you just type Alias in Google, it just automatically links you to Autodesk, the makers of Alias software.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, the character is Ron. Is the actor Ron Rifkin?
Ron Rifkin is the actor.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. Scipio found it. Thank you. The name out.
Save me a little work.
He's supposed to be a poo-poo head. I'm here to... Oh, Arvin Sloan was
his
name?
You know what it was? It was the old man. There's the Joel Grey character, the one that kind of is behind the scenes.
Yeah.
That he meets with early on in the show. We thought that was Ron Rifkin, and really it's Joel Grey who's looking like Ron Rifkin these days.
Oh. It reminds me of the old guy in... So Kim just finished, and I've watched it with her, the last part of it, so I feel kind of weird about this. I only saw half the season. But she finished up the new White Lotus season.
Oh, yeah. What'd she think of it?
She loved it. She's
I did
completely
too.
Obsessed with that show. She loves it so much. And I got pretty obsessed toward the end. But, man, I can't believe what they did in that last episode. That was insane.
I know.
I thought this was your through line forever. Not to give anything away, but I thought you were...
No. You
know, that was always going to be your, like, common...
Yep. Careful. Careful.
Yeah. Maybe Uncle Rico next season. But anyway.
Maybe.
See, that's just vague enough.
There was another character that I thought was the body that we see in the first episode.
Oh, okay.
And let's just say she was a high-priced hooker. Let's just say that's my hint. Let's just say that's who I thought.
Yeah, gotcha. I feel you.
Without giving you anything away.
No, I feel you. Anyway, that it was really good, but the guy plays the grandpa in the Italian family. So you got what's his name, Michael
Murray Abraham.
F. Murray Abraham. He always when I see him, they're all I always think of him, or I see F. Murray Abraham and I think of either him or I think of the Spanish actor who's always in stuff whose name I can't remember.
Yes, Jose Ferrer.
I think that's
Miguel Ferrer. Miguel Ferrer.
Is it Miguel Ferrer? Yeah, the one he was in RoboCop once.
Yes.
Yeah, that guy snorting coke off a hooker's chest or whatever. Yes, the things you remember from the movies of your youth.
No, there is a very like Miguel Ferrer and F. Murray Abraham for whatever reason feel very similar. Did you never watched Mythic Quest, right?
Not yet. It's queued. It's in my list. I just gotta watch it.
F. Murray Abraham is magic in that show.
He's just great, man. What a great actor. He really is. And I don't feel like he has aged 5 minutes since Amadeus, man. That guy doesn't get old.
No.
Yeah. What's up with
that? Those three guys, like it was great casting for those three guys playing grandfather, father, and son in White Lotus. What's his face? Michael Imperioli from Sopranos. And
yeah, it's always good to see him.
And the young dude who's, you know, not the kid from... A Big Love that reminded us a lot of the kid from Big Love.
Do we know the kid in this from something else?
No, I don't think so.
He's very good.
Albie, I think was the character's name.
Yeah. There was one scene that was a little awkward, but you know, what are you going to do?
No, sure.
That's a fascinating show, but here's why I like it the most. I think I may have brought this up before. The guy that's the creator, writer, and showrunner is a comedian, former comedian. I don't think he's doing any of that stuff anymore. But the minute you see him, you'll recognize him. He's the weird, squirrely little dude.
Oh, you're talking about Mike White.
Yeah. Sitting in George's apartment working on wigs.
See, I never think of him from that. I think of him from School of Rock.
Oh, I don't remember him. Jack Black. Yeah. Is he in that? I don't remember that. Is he a teacher?
He's one of Jack Black's best friends or brother or something like that.
Oh, I don't remember that at all. It's funny that
as much as I love Seinfeld, I can't remember Mike White, but
it's very brief. It's a short thing. It's a very funny moment. It's toward the end of the Susan arc with George. But I love it because both him and Jennifer Coolidge are in Seinfeld. So it's Seinfeld. Like the Seinfeld connection. Yeah. It's kind of cool.
Oh, did you see? I don't know if you watch SNL, but.
Nope. Not that I don't want to. I just never do. I don't know why.
Yeah. The most recent, well, you know, it's SNL's becoming one of those things that it's better for somebody to tell you, hey, there's one segment from the latest SNL that's worth watching.
Sure.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
But in this case, it was one thing from the latest SNL that was worth watching. And let me see if I can find it. It's Chloe Fineman, mm-hmm. who is great. Here we go.
She's a cast member.
She's a cast member. Yeah. She's extraordinary at impersonations. She's really, really good at stuff. So I'm going to give you a link. I wonder, you can probably play. Well, I don't know.
Pete Crumb 73. I promise you Mike White was in Seinfeld. Go look him up. Sorry. Let's see. Did you put in our Discord? Where is it?
I did. I put in our Discord.
There it is.
Didn't I?
Yep, yeah. You did. Oh, she does a Jennifer Coolidge. Let's see this.
She does a brilliant Jennifer Coolidge. And what's great is the audio listeners are going to hear this and think it's exactly Jennifer Coolidge.
All right, here we go.
Is impressed by Christmas stuff.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Coolidge. I love Christmas. Oh, look at this. A big sock full of gifts. You know, the ultimate stocking stuffer is a foot.
Anyway, this was probably the only memorable bit from a very unmemorable recent episode of SNL.
She's except great.
Except for the loss of Cecily Strong, who was...
Oh, yeah. What's her deal? Why'd she leave?
She's making that good Verizon money or something. I don't know. I guess she just had enough with the... It's a horrendous schedule they put those people through and...
Yeah, I don't know how
and it becomes a great launching career for people, and I'm hoping it does for her as well, because her in movies, she'll be great.
Yeah, oh, I have no doubt. I was actually going to see. Oh, interesting. Okay. You know what? Do I have it wrong that Mike White's not in Seinfeld, and I've besmirched?
Now I want to know
who's in that
squirrely
episode,
dude making
then?
Wigs is.
Why do I have this wrong?
Well, I don't see it now. Damn it. Who's...
Oh, no.
Okay, this all these years... I know... You have to give me a link to the guy. I know who it is. But I can't find this... Okay, now I don't know who that was. You know what? I'm annoyed. I hate when I find out a thing I've held in my head for years isn't true. Yeah. I hate it. Who is it for real? Can we find out who it was? Okay, quit sending me his profile. Send me
right, exactly. Find the dude who was on Seinfeld.
Yeah.
I forgot Mike White was on a whole season of Survivor, and it was great watching him because he's so affable and I mean he was a contestant, like basically out there eating rice and whatever else they could find in the jungle. He was great.
I found it. It's Patrick Bristow. Oh, someone also posted it. Patrick Bristow.
Patrick
is
Bristow,
the guy from Seinfeld. Gosh, dang it. I thought they were the same guy.
Do they have a picture of Patrick Bristow?
They do. It kind of looks like him. I mean, you can see my confusion. He looks a little like Mike White. Gosh, dang it.
Where's, all right. Let's see. There's a picture of him. Okay. Oh, yeah. You know, I can see that.
You see how I confuse those two? Gosh dang it. All right.
Dude looks a little bit like Julie Louise Dreyfus's real life husband, Brad.
Oh, Hall? Brad Hall, yeah.
Yeah.
Current Brad Hall, yeah. Brad Hall's changed a lot in the intervening years.
He looks like old Brad Hall.
Yeah. He's Brad Hall, or sorry, those two have been married for what, 30 plus, 35 years or something?
Mm.
That's a Hollywood. Yeah. There's your Hollywood
That's
couple.
A Hollywood marriage, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
You got happy family, nice kids, all that stuff. Thank you, PC Crumb.
Patrick Bristow.
Yeah.
P. Crumb's one. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you scroll down, the first thing in IMDb is known for, and his four things are Showgirls, the Adam Sandler remake of The Longest Yard, Transformers, Age of Extinction,
yeah.
And probably the best of the four, So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Oh, wow. Yeah. He's still, he's got, you know, lots of bit parts.
Lots of bit parts.
Yeah, and you know what? Yeah, that's fine.
If he's fine with that, that's good for
Whatever you need.
I'd be fine with that because I'm sure he's, you know.
He's doing all right.
He's making a living.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got Transformers money.
Yeah.
He's fine.
He's got Seinfeld syndication money probably.
Yeah. Everyone,
I wonder how much, that's an interesting question, how much side actors like this get from syndication.
Interesting. And like, okay.
Do they not? Shoujo and Rainbow Bright.
Are they saying no?
Never mind. They're responding to Luke Sightwalker asking if we're still doing the pre-show. If this is still TMS pre-show. Why? Are you wanting us to get to the news? Is that what you're saying?
Is that what you're saying to us? Fine.
This is the show. This is what you come to see is two old guys trying to remember shit.
Yeah, trying to remember TV shit. Well, we've done our part. And so now it is time for the news. Let's do a little news. It's brought to you by...
Brought to you by Coverville. Today, we complete our obligation for 2022 with part two of the Coverville countdown. That's right. Today is the meat, right? Today is the icing. It's nothing but meat with icing on it. It's like Oops All Berries of covers because it's all the best covers from 2022. That's right. We're counting down 20 all the way down to number one of the best covers of 2022. Who will be in there? Will Stevie Nicks be in there? Will somebody else be in there doing a Stevie Nicks song? I can tell you both of those things are true. Find out where everything lays down in the top 20 today at 1 p.m. Mountain Time, twitch.tv/Coverville.
Very nice. Claire, try to keep up. Amy's later. I'm kidding. Yeah, I'm not actually annoyed, but she didn't hear that part of the beginning of the show.
No, exactly.
She was off
refilling her gen.
Yeah, getting her gen all done and redocking her switch. Let's get to this.
Some gen.
Got some stories here about Italian things, which is great since I just finished up that season of White Lotus. Italian police used a Lamborghini supercar. I don't think they needed to tell us that. I think it just could have just said Lamborghini.
You know? Right, exactly. Oh, Lamborghini makes a car now, you say?
Yeah,
oh.
Seems like a weird thing to call it. I mean, of course it's a supercar. It's a Lamborghini, for hell's sakes. It's very redundant. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. They used one, or they adapted one, to deliver kidneys to donor patients on Tuesday, hundreds of miles apart. So in order to get those kidneys moving, they put it in their supercar.
It's like when they flew Phil Collins on the Concorde so he could be at Live Aid both at Wembley Stadium and Philadelphia.
That, I didn't know that. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah, so that he could perform at both the American and the UK Live Aids.
Well, he was a bit, no wonder he stuttered in studio. He's
an easy lover, that Phil Collins.
He is a very easy, I can promise you he's an easy lover. traveling on the motorway to deliver the most beautiful Christmas ever, present ever, life. Oh, they said in a statement posted on social media, alongside a picture of the medical cool box. So that's what they call those things where they're carrying like a heart or a kidney in it. It's a medical cool
because they don't
want to
call it a Yeti cooler with a lung in it.
No, I think they, you know, they want you to feel the mystery of medical science, you know.
Right? No. Well, like a little, not a little smoky. Like there's a term for that one that barely holds a six pack that everybody has in their garage.
Oh, yeah. I hate that one. It's not big enough to do anything.
Right, exactly. It's like, oh, hey, yeah, let me give her a couple plastic bottles of soda to put. Oh, they don't fit.
Yeah, I don't like those. Not a fan.
Playmate. That's right. It's a little playmate with a kidney in it.
Yeah. Kidney playmate. It says here, they said in the statement, they pictured the box here. It was purpose-built compartment in the front of a Hurricane, which is the car.
Yeah,
thanks.
That's also the way you pronounce hurricane in Utah.
Well, it's how you pronounce the town of Hurricane. But when we say hurricane, we say hurricane.
I know.
just for those out there that might be a little confused. We have a weird town, and it Fs everybody up.
Spelled hurricane, pronounced hurricane.
Yeah, which is really weird. And when you're down there, don't ever say hurricane. Those people hop all over you.
Really?
Are you new here? It's hurricane. Anyway. The organs.
Tsunami of trouble.
Let's see. Oh, thanks to state police, special Father Christmas. It says two people received the gift of a kidney. The police wrote, the organs are driven from Padua, I assume.
Padua?
Italy, it could be Padua. In Italy's northeast, two hospitals in Modena.
Modena, yeah.
And then Roemi?
I think it's pronounced Rami.
Oh, Rami. Okay, yeah, Rami. Yeah. And when Rami fell. Rami wasn't built in a day. We've heard that all a lot of times.
Shaka, when Rami fell.
When Shaka went
arms wide open.
Make me want to watch TNG. Police said they hope the two patients and their families will have a happier, more peaceful Christmas. The Lamborghini Huracan, which was top speed at 300 kilometers per mile or per hour. It says KMH, the M's meters.
Kilometers per hour.
Got it. Why do they include, isn't kilometers a single
KM
word?
Kilometers is abbreviated KM, not just K. Otherwise, it'd be potassium.
That's right. That car does potassium.
Or 300,000 miles an hour.
It gets up to 100 in 3.2 seconds. And was a 2017 gift to police from a luxury car maker, or from the luxury car maker known as Lamborghini.
It was an Italian kidney job, what that was.
Yeah, you got to watch out for those Italians. They'll get your kidney one way or the other. We got a Boulder story, Brian. Bringing it home.
Yay, close to home.
Hooray for this one. Boulder's main library closed due to high levels of methamphetamine.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's a bummer.
Boulder's fallen on some hard times lately. Boulder used to be the most highest concentration of healthy people and marijuana, both in the same place.
Oh, interesting.
And now it is, there's some rough stuff going on up there.
Well, here's what it says. The city of Boulder closed its main library at 1001 Arapaho Avenue on Monday afternoon for environmental testing after methamphetamine was discovered in the facility's restrooms. Testing will include swab samples of surfaces inside and outside the restrooms. I mean, this is probably one dude. You know, we don't know.
Could be, right? Sure.
It's easy to go, all of Boulder's covered in meth.
Right, exactly. And really, it's just some dude named Dewey Decimal. And they're like, oh, look in the library.
Dewey Decimal doing meth. The question.
It's the only way to figure out that damn numbering system.
I know, it's so lame. The question right now is whether these levels, which we're concerned about, are confined to the exhaust vents in the restrooms, or whether the residue has been developed or been deposited on parts of the library that people have more access to. They said the biggest concern for methamphetamine consumption, or contamination rather, is short bursts like that, and if it's on the surfaces. I learned about a thing yesterday, speaking of that. I never knew, so I didn't understand much about how, you know, Russia will just off people they don't like poison them and stuff, because Putin's an ass. Shouldn't say that out loud. I'm in trouble now.
Uncle with the dogs or something. It's been a while.
It's always something.
always something.
Well, that was North Korea, was it?
Oh, that's right. That was Un. Yes, never mind.
But they use similar stuff. So it's like this little ball of, is it polonium? And it's the size of a grain of artificial coffee sweetener, like little tiny pellet, pellet. But if you ingest that, you become literally radioactive, and anyone you touch and other things that you touch, you spread like dangerous levels.
And not
levels.
In a good like Stan Lee Marvel Comics kind of way.
No, very bad way. Like I'm going to die in 2 days kind of way. And you look like a Chernobyl survivor, basically, when you're done. Anyways, they poisoned a couple of dissenting Russians with this thing, and it was just the most gnarly sounding, nightmarish scenario. And I'm thinking, if it's that small,
no kidding.
I don't want to eat anything. Don't come near me with food.
No. Yeah, I'm just going to start growing and eating my own food if that's the case. Yeah. Was that what happened to that guy? Remember there was the dude on the airplane that Putin didn't like that. Had mysterious, like he started to feel sick on the airplane, and then by the time they got to the airport, he was dead or something.
Yeah, I think that may have been it. Well, so that and the brother or the stepbrother of Kim Jong Un also had something where he's in the airport trying to go to, he was trying to go to Florida Disneyland World something, and the North Koreans saw that as a I can't remember what the deal was. They saw it as just like offensive that he would go to an American, try to hide, you know, hide his identity and go to an American.
Thing. Right. Like, yeah.
And so some girls run up to him in the airport, and there's footage of this. These two girls run up and grab his face and then run away. And then he starts to feel sick already, starts to tell people, I think I'm going to die. He's talking to like security at the airport, and within minutes he's dead. And it was these two nerve agents that on their own don't do anything. You could smear, you could bathe in one of them and it wouldn't do a thing. Yeah, you could bathe in the other.
Like combine like epoxy.
Exactly. So they had to come together to be a problem. And so one hand had one on this girl. The other hand had this on this girl. And she went up there and went on his face and they joined together. And that's what killed him.
Oh my God.
I know. Wow. It was nasty. It was nasty. Man, jeez. Freaking, it's this spycraft show documentary thing on Netflix. It's really weird.
I'm watching something that will easily be next week's recommendal, where somebody offs, you know, basically one agent offs another agent with just by tapping his shoulder, and he's got like a little needle or something in his hand, and he just taps the guy's shoulder as he's, you know, walking through a bus. Ugh. And the guy later dies, and it's because at that moment he kind of injected him with something.
There was also a thing where that reminds me of the Russian ones, where they used to do cyanide mist or something. I can't remember what the deal was, but they basically hid it in a newspaper. This is like 70s. Mm-hmm. And they would walk up to whoever they're trying to get, and they'd be just reading their newspaper, and they'd walk up next to the guy and then fold the newspaper in such a way that they would go and they just blow this dust into the victim's face, and they would just like inhale all this cyanide and die. Also, I didn't know ricin, the highly poisonous, mm-hmm. deadly ricin, comes from a freaking bean. It's just a bean.
Why do I remember that? Was that talked about in Breaking Bad? I want to say it was. I want to say that Walter White explained where ricin came from to Jesse at some point.
He probably did. Now that you're saying it, it's sounding familiar to me as well.
Jesse, it's just a bean.
Let's see. It's ricin is lectin, a carbohydrate binding protein and a highly potent toxic produced by the seeds of the castor oil plants, so castor beans.
Mm-hmm.
Wild, man. And that stuff.
Science, bitch.
Yeah. Science, bitch. Grindr, over to Grindr. Let's go to Grindr.
Sure. Oh, great. Let's
let's get to
from Boulder to Grindr.
Yep. Let's get to that Grindr news.
Didn't even know her.
Yeah. The big Grindr news of the week. Grindr cannibal. It's a guy who was a cannibal using Grindr.
Sure.
He mutilated and ate the testicles of Kevin Bacon, has been sentenced to life in prison. Now, I know it seems like I just glossed over the name Kevin Bacon.
It did.
But we'll get to the point here. Mark,
you know what's funny? When I glanced at this headline,
yeah.
it caught my eye, and it can't be accidental that the first thing I think I see is Kevin Bacon sentenced to life in prison.
Oh,
the last
yeah.
six words of that, or seven words of that sentence.
Yeah, if you cut that right there, yep.
Yeah, and Kevin Bacon sentenced to life in prison.
And that would be, that'd be big
if you
news.
Go nine, if you go nine words, you get testicles of Kevin Bacon sentenced to life in prison, which is an even more sensational headline.
Yeah. And then if you leave the rest, it just says Grindr cannibal who mutilated and ate.
If I were the person, like if this were newspaper days, and I was the person doing the headline, I would make sure that when this printed, it printed on two lines.
Yeah.
And that the second line was Kevin Bacon sentenced to life in prison. I would use font sizing and spacing to make sure so that even though it's the continuation of the headline, that would pull people in.
I agree. This is the way. See, you know enough about the paper business.
I know these things.
Yeah, look at you.
I drink and I know things, Scott.
You should get a job at, I don't know, who's the most link-baity source these days? Who does that the worst and the most right now?
Epic Times.
Yeah.
Are they the ones?
You won't believe what, I hate that stuff.
Or BuzzFeed is pretty bad.
Yeah, BuzzFeed does.
Even HuffPo is kind of.
You know what annoys me about BuzzFeed? BuzzFeed has like legit journalists, mm-hmm. journalism's yeah. on staff. Like they have like actual investigative stuff. And then they have this clown show on the front end.
Right.
Which just is all a bunch of 23 reasons why the 90s made you ugly or whatever.
Right. They need to separate. They need to like splinter off the legit news source into something that's not called BuzzFeed.
BuzzFeed. So dumb.
Right.
Anyway, this dude from Michigan.
Yeah. I'm sorry, the testicles.
Yeah, he murdered and mutilated and cannibalized a Grindr hookup, Kevin Bacon, who has been sentenced to life in prison. Again, the first guy, not Kevin Bacon. He will stay behind bars with no possibility of parole for the murder of the 25-year-old hairstylist named Kevin Bacon. All right, this is not the actual Kevin Bacon.
Darn it. There goes my 6 degrees. Apparently, this guy, 2 degrees of the wrong Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. Also, this is a hilarious article because this article, I've never read anything before in a big block of text that ignores the elephant in the room more than they are. They don't once bring up Kevin Bacon.
Do they ever get
Bacon.
To the point? They never, never actually do. Get to not the actual Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, not to be confused with actor, writer, director Kevin Bacon. They never do it. They never even acknowledge it. They just say it as if this is a name like Bill Fakerson. Like they just don't even That's right. care.
It's basically fake bacon is what it is.
Yeah, it's fake bacon.
It's fake bacon. Bacon.
let's see. This follows the 53-year-old, aren't they always, pleading guilty to murder and mutilation of a corpse after he lured Bacon into a Grindr hookup on Christmas Eve 2019. He was convicted of first-degree murder as well as disinterment and mutilation of a dead body. Disinterment? What does that mean?
Disinterment. So like taking well, you're it apart? Interned, like, you know, put into a coffin or an urn or whatever, like if they're cremated, interred. Oh, that's interred, not disinternment.
Yeah, so what does it mean when he was convicted of disinternment. What does that even mean?
When you unbury a dead body. Okay, so it's the opposite of interning. It's disinterning.
So does that mean... So maybe if he killed
grave
the guy...
Grave robbing.
Killed the guy on Christmas Eve, he didn't rob the grave, he just killed the guy. You know what I mean? So where did he where did he disintern him from?
Seconds. You gonna finish that?
I like that. I think that's
it. I really could go for some more of that fake bacon.
Let me dig him up again. It's fine. All right, Chad, I know these are real people, and this is like, you know, we're having a little fun here.
That's
but
true, yes.
I can't help it. Court Circuit Judge Matthew Stewart ruled that he understood the consequences of the crime. Once again, not mentioning that this guy's got the name Kevin Bacon. The court finds out if this crime is a cold calculation. Kevin Bacon's death was Mark Lutansky's design, he says. Anyway, there's a bunch of other nasty stuff about it. Well, I'm glad they caught this guy. He sounds like Dahmer.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
So get him in jail, get him out. And
man, it's good we didn't have Dahmer in the time of Grindr, because that would have made his.
Can you imagine how much he would have been a tool for him?
Yeah, exactly.
I think it would have, but also would have been harder than now. Like you don't hear like serial killings, 70s and 80s.
Yeah,
big time bump. Like it was a big deal. Everybody's killing everybody. It felt like, and they were doing it in secret, and they're all psychos. Now, is it because we're so much? We talked about cameras earlier, but we're so much more. I don't know. Public. Everything's so public now that it's actually harder to be a serial killer.
After three Grindr, you know, I don't know if you swipe. If you do the same thing with Grindr that you with Tinder with swiping left, they'd probably be able to say, oh. All three dead guys swiped left on this Jeffrey Dahmer fella's portrait. Maybe there's a connection.
Yeah. Like, just easier to find it. Otherwise, in the 70s, you're walking around. There's no cameras. Nobody's checking anything. You don't have background checks for a lot of jobs you'd get. I don't know. I just feel like it's harder today. And I think that's why you just don't hear about serial killers as much. Like, when's the last serial killer you heard of? You know? This guy's close, but he didn't get to do any more.
No, you're right. It's that's a really good point.
Yeah, that's wild to me. Final story.
Sure.
A movie
Captain Crunch. That is the most recent serial killer I've heard of. Yes.
Yeah, Captain Crunch. Did it get killed? Oh, you mean the captain himself was a killer? Oh no, we can't.
Serial killer.
Yeah, we can't have that because then his berries are out. All right, moving on to this story.
Oh yeah, that's what that guy, Kevin Bacon's berries. Oops, all berries.
Oh my lord.
Love real people. We know the real people involved. We love those real people.
That's right. Hey, if you ever saw a movie trailer you thought was misleading, good news, you can now sue over it. Okay? You can do that. apparently, according
excellent.
To this.
How much can I get?
Well, let's see.
Phantom Menace looked like it would be really good.
It did look like it was going to be better than it was. This is funny because it all has to do with Ana de Armas.
Really?
She's at the center of this, although I doubt she has anything to say about it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Anyway, movie fans can now sue over misleading trailers, says a U.S. judge. If they're disappointed their favorite actor was cut from the film after appearing in the trailer, they can sue the studio for false advertising, according to a U.S. judge. It'll probably get appealed, but it may stick. Two movie buffs say Universal Pictures tricked them into renting the 2019 flick Yesterday because the trailer featured actress Ana de Armas. Peter Michael Rosa, 45, of San Diego, and Connor Wolfie, I don't know if you do the E or not, 39, of Maryland, say they forked over $4 each to watch the Richard Curtis comedy on Amazon Prime, only to discover that de Armas had not made the final cut in the class action.
Wait. Yeah. So did they watch it separately? I guess they must have watched it separately, as opposed to why don't we watch it in the same place, and then we can each just chip in $2.
You're right. Well, I mean, they're in different states, so maybe they were friends, but maybe not. Maybe this is just
like film sack, right? Like,
yeah, it's a bit like that, I think.
Yeah.
It says, where is it? Class action suit filed earlier this year alleged fans have been led to expect the Cuban No Time to Die star would feature prominently. However, they did not receive a movie with the appearance of de Armas in it, says the suit. Accordingly, such consumers were not provided with any value for their rental or purchase. If I were you, I'd say, they sound like creepy stalkers of Ana de Armas.
Kind of, yeah.
We really thought we'd see Ana de Armas in this.
That's right. I done seen
her. Now we're going to have to go watch Blonde again.
That's right. I done seen her nipples in that there Blade Runner movie.
you see a whole lot more in Blonde. Well, maybe you don't. You just see them a lot.
Oh, you see a frequent.
The movie where she's Marilyn Monroe?
Yeah, the frequent use of her nipples.
Frequent use. Their nipples actually get a second billing in the movie poster.
Ooh, they get their own trailer?
Ana de Armas. And Ana de Armas' nipples in Blonde.
Oh, that probably does mean they got their own trailer. That's awesome. Universal, has asked U.S. District Judge Stephen Wilson to throw out the complaint, arguing the trailers are protected by the First Amendment of the Constitution, which guarantees free speech. But in his ruling on Thursday, Wilson rejected the studio's argument, saying trailers are commercial speech and subject to laws around honest advertising. At its core, a trailer is an advertisement designed to sell a movie by providing customers with a preview of the movie, he wrote. You know what? I kind of agree.
Right. So there are two sides to this. It is false advertising to say some things in a movie. Just like if you had a product that said, doesn't contain raisin. It did contain raisin. Yep. But no, basically saying, with the great flavor of chocolate, and it doesn't taste like chocolate at all. But so that's one side of this, and it makes sense, and I think that's a valid point. The other side of this is these two guys are creepy for only renting a movie because they think Ana de Armas is in it, and the fact that she's not in it is enough for them to say, we did not enjoy the film. We want our money back because Ana de Armas is not in this film.
She never showed up. I mean, were they just sitting there like dogs going, when's she showing up? When's
she ever did? I don't care about this Beatles crap. When's Ana de Armas showing up?
Well, the other thing is... all this is going to do. Here's my prediction. Scott's got a prediction. Get ready for this one.
Yeah.
All this does is add a bunch of tiny micro text disclaimers at the bottom of every trailer. And we're all going to hate it because it's going to be distracting. So the little thing down there is going to say some actors may or may not appear in the final cut.
Right.
Due to whatever.
Original footage or early footage shown. It's kind of like game trailers do this, don't they? Where they say... like little tiny text at the bottom where they say not actual game footage.
Oh, yeah, they do. And sometimes they do it as a sales technique to say this is in game footage.
Sure.
Which is an interesting response to that. But yeah, if you have to I guess you don't have to, but this is the way that you get away. This is how you stop getting lawsuits if this goes, if this sticks. Mm-hmm. And that's going to annoy us too because I don't want a bunch of text all the time at the bottom. Someone in the chat mentioned Suicide Squad, where the Joker was prominently featured in the trailer, but was in 5 minutes of the movie, of the original one. is that an example of being misled, or is that an artistic choice to tease out a thing? You know, like
it opens things up to just being disappointed in a film because the trailer made it look better than it was, right? Because if you allow this, because it's purely based on, hey, I want to see Ana de Armas. I'm paying for Yesterday and bought it. Oh, there's no Ana de Armas in it. It's just like saying, oh man, I wanted to see more Joker in Suicide Squad because he's in the trailer. So he must be, if he's in 10 or 25% of the trailer, he must be in 25% of the movie. Mm. It's just, it opens things up to too much gray area where it just becomes based on opinion. Right?
Yeah, totally. When you get to that point, like the whole thing with, you said Phantom Menace looked good in the trailer, but wasn't good. That's 100%. From a legal standpoint, that's 100% just your impression of the film.
Exactly.
Your opinion of the film. And so they're not gonna give you that, but they might give you that, hey, the trailer showed Mark Hamill, but he never showed up.
Yeah, but you have to argue that there's enough justifiable reason that that Mark Hamill was the selling point for that film. Just like, all right, how do you justify that Ana de Armas was the selling point to Yesterday? Was she presented in the trailer as central to the plot or a main character or something like that? Even then, I feel like it's speculation because you're opinion, because you're paying to see the movie. I don't know. You have to somehow justify that you're paying to see a movie specifically and only because of an actor featured in there, and for no other reason that you can say that the rest of that other 80% was satisfied, but the 20% that I wanted to see this actor or actress is not satisfied. Right.
Dr. Calhoun says if she wasn't the selling point, they wouldn't have put her in the trailer, which was created to sell the film. That's not true. She was in the film. They cut her role because they didn't like it.
Yeah, but maybe she says something in the trailer. I'll have to watch the trailer because I remember seeing Yesterday. I'd have to see what she says in the trailer that, you know, the trailer is there to not just show who's in the movie, but also to give you enough of a scenario or a synopsis to interest you in the movie.
Right. But here's the other problem. Okay, so Dr. Calhoun replies, she was in the trailer in all caps. No, I understand that. When trailers come out, production's not done. Your movie's not finished. Trailers are often, I mean, I'm about to launch a card game where I know there's going to be some art changes on some of the cards before I can show them, but I'm going to show video of a whole different card. I can't help it. That's all I have right now. And so I'm not saying that that's all they had. I'm saying it's entirely possible that creative things change before your movie's ready and trailers go out 6-7 months before you're done. So I think it's just complicated. It's never simple.
Yeah. And Dr. Calhoun, her use in the trailer, and again, I need to see the trailer because I don't know, but her use in the trailer might be just to show a part of a scene that explains the plot of Yesterday, explains the synopsis of Yesterday so that somebody can be there. Not necessarily because she's Ana de Armas. Another character could have said that and they, you know, would have used that segment to give the viewer a synopsis of the plot.
Yeah, it's entirely possible too. I mean, her star hadn't quite risen by the time that movie came out. Mm-hmm. So it's possible that these guys, they're renting a movie. It was early
before Knives Out and
yeah, I think 2017 was Blade Runner. Nobody really knew who she was yet. Mm-mm. She was great in it, but nobody really knew.
She was.
Anyway, it's fascinating. We have legal listeners. Yeah, I can't wait for them to pipe in. We have lawyer listeners who will probably give us some better ideas on how this works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That'll do it for today's news. We are going to move on and take a break. When we come back from the song break, we'll have Amy here, do a little read this, talk about some books, and some more of your feedback from texts and emails and junk. So stick around. But first, this song from Brian Ibbett.
It's from me. Well, technically, it's from a band called Slumbering Sun. They have a brand new album, courtesy of Us and Them Group. They are an Austin Celtic doom grunge band.
Doom.
Okay. Austin-based Celtic doom grunge band. God, I love these combinations.
Sure.
There's so many like that, right? So it's like, how do you pick out your favorite Austin-based Celtic doom grunge band?
Yeah.
Listen, if you like Alice in Chains, or the band Warning, or Green Lung, you're going to like these, but we know Alice in Chains. Sure. These guys are great. This is the first single from their forthcoming debut album. The song is called Liminal Bridges. Here is Slumbering Sun.
see if anyone's still left alive.
I already checked. Everyone is dead.
Guys, can we just change the subject? Jaws happens to be one of my favorite movies.
Oh, that's clever. I'll leave that the way it is.
The Morning Stream. Do not confuse luck with skill.
And we returned. Give us a reminder who that was, please.
That voice you just heard was Scott Fletcher. I'm sorry. So Scott Fletcher is the one person I'm worried about not wanting to come back to do Taskmaster.
Oh, yeah. He seemed annoyed the whole time.
He really did. He seemed so...
He's not one for games he's not being told the rules to. He's like, oh, okay, what are you doing here?
You know, he's such a the dude is such a fan of jocularity that band was Slumbering Sun from their upcoming album called The Ever-Living Fire, which comes out next year. Next year's in 3 days, people. You can wait. Yeah. That's a song called Liminal Bridges.
Nice. It's a great name, too. I like that.
Yeah.
All right. We got
Claire,
Amy.
Claire really wants to do Taskmaster. What do you think?
I don't know.
Well, Liminal Bridges is a book in the Elder Scrolls. That's where that came from. That's cool.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Liminal Bridges? Elder Scrolls? Liminal
Books of Skyrim 5, Liminal Bridges. I was wondering where that came from.
I had no idea. That's awesome. I played a lot of Skyrim, and I don't remember that.
So a Skyrim-influenced, Austin-based Celtic doom grunge band.
Yeah.
Slumbering Sun.
It's like you all asked for. Now this, right here. Hey, it's two times in 1 weeker. Red Fraggle, aka Amy, joining us for a Read This. Hi, Amy. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good.
Good. You and Chuck recovering from your various part removals?
Yes. Yes. Remarkably well. Although I do have a funny story around that. And so, you know, whenever you go under general anesthesia, they tell you, make sure that you have a responsible adult with you for the next 24 hours.
Sure.
You know, and you kind of figure, okay, mostly that's just to make sure there's no emergencies. Like if, you know, somebody's there that can call 911, et cetera, et cetera. And that's not the only reason. Sometimes when you're completely high because you're still coming out of anesthesia, you can maybe purchase some things that you don't necessarily intend to.
Oh, gosh.
Did you buy a squattipotamus?
What happened?
No, I got a squattipotamus for Christmas.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I really did. Okay. My niece is just that funny that because when I told her that, she immediately turned around and got me a squattipotamus for Christmas. Yes.
Hey, listen, I know people who swear by those things, so you have to let me know off air how it works for you.
Yeah, I mean, I find it helpful. No, I'm just gonna say. Anyway, sorry.
So
back to yes. So the day after Chuck's surgery, we wake up the next morning and he's checking his email, you know, looking at his phone as you do. Mm-hmm. And he goes, oh God, I bought a Steam Deck.
Nice.
Wow. Like,
what?
That's not a small, that's not some trinket on Amazon. That's a big deal.
Right.
Considerable. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he had bought me one for my birthday and he gave it to me a little bit early because of, you know, he wanted me to have it so I'd be able to play with it while I was recovering from my surgery and such. And I have been pretty much playing it nonstop. And he loves it. He thinks it's really cool. And he's like, man, I want one of those things.
Yeah.
And but it just kind of went on to the mental list of, okay, I'll put that on my wish list for later. Nope. Apparently, post-anesthesia Chuck decided that he deserved a Steam Deck right then.
Wow.
So, his Steam Deck, I think, should be arriving today.
That's amazing.
You know what? That's a good... You know, Ambien-esque. I know it wasn't Ambien, but that's kind of where you hear about this most of the time, are people doing stuff like this on Ambien.
Yeah.
But that's a good Ambien-esque purchase.
Yeah, right there. It's fine.
You won't be disappointed.
No, he's gonna love it.
Oh yeah.
And also,
I love mine. I gotta say, I'm really digging it.
Your timing's excellent though, because you know, when I ordered mine, I had to wait a year. I was on a waiting list.
Right.
And now people are getting them in like 4 days, which is great. But anyway, that's awesome. Congratulations to him on his high purchase.
And so just a little PSA, you know, you might, if you or your spouse or partner, whatever, if you're responsible for a person who is having surgery, you might want to just monitor them and their phone usage a little bit there. Just make sure they don't spend money that they're not intending to spend.
Wait till he gets his Steam Deck, fires it up, and he looks in his library, and he also managed to purchase every Japanese dating sim
that
is available on Steam.
All those porn puzzle games.
How to Fool Boyfriend? Why am I playing a pigeon? Dating another
we'll get Waifu Battle 3 will end up on there, and you won't know why. Let me
because I kind of want to see that.
Probably there's so many dirty games on Steam. I was going to mention something to you, and I forgot. Oh, I know what it was. So I've long held this belief that if I go into a doctor or a surgeon and I have something taken from me, that I should get to keep it in a bottle or something. Mm-hmm. So I always wanted, like, when I go to the dentist, if they take a tooth out or an old crown or something, I want to keep it. If I go to the doctor, I want to keep whatever they take. But they've never given me what I've asked for when it came to like surgeries. They wouldn't let me have my appendix. I wanted it in a little bottle. Mm. They wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. I think we should be allowed to take our own shit home. It came out of my body. So it's mine.
Exactly. I brought it here. I should get to take it home with me. Look at, remember Viking Lass? She kept a gallbladder in a jar that, wasn't it named Gulbert or something like that?
She gave it a cool name. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I want that. Yeah. And some chat says rightly, they call that stuff medical waste. I get it, Captain Kipper, but I want my... It's my medical waste, damn it!
Yeah. Waste to you guys, maybe.
Yeah.
It's certainly not as though they are paying you for it, for whatever. Like, you are paying them.
Right.
So you should definitely, even more so. Yeah.
I don't think... there are very few things you actually own in this world. All of it's artificial and goes away the minute you die. The bits of me that grew out of me, those are mine.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. Not yours. Yeah. They're not the landfills or wherever the stuff goes. I don't know where it goes.
By the way, big congratulations to Dice Tomato, who not only found Ultimate Waifu Battle Online, a tower defense game on Steam, but right now it's 69% off.
Nice. I made that up. Is that really a title? That's crazy.
Really a title. Really a game.
Doesn't surprise me. They have so much stuff like that. Somebody gifted me a copy of Sex with Hitler 2.
It was so good they had to make a sequel.
Yeah, there's a sequel.
Oh, we have so much stuff we really wanted to do in the first Sex with Hitler game that we just didn't have the technology for.
Yeah.
And now...
let's see if I can find the description on this. You guys will enjoy this. Here it is.
Sure.
Sex with Hitler. This is 2. Sex with Hitler is a unique blend of visual novel and top-down shooter. You'll fight in the fields of World War II and meet unique heroines, among whom you might find friends and enemies. Boy, that's a real light way of putting it. If you go look at the screenshots, you're really going to be in for it. Don't. I recommend not looking at those unless you want to look at those, I guess. Anyway, Steam. It's great. Let's talk about books.
Tramp stamp.
Let's talk about books. When you're not playing on your Steam Deck, you're reading a damn book. And we probably want to talk about those. What are you bringing to us this week? What's going on?
That is true. Yes. So I actually very much enjoyed listening to this audiobook while I was recovering. And it's an awesome book. I love it. I will say, just to set up the clip a little bit, I don't know what's up with my audio recording stuff, but the clip does not sound as though it would sound if you listened to it on Audible. I'll just put it that way. There seems to be a lot of background noise and some echo and stuff like that. I couldn't get that out of it. I don't know what it, but that's me. Yeah. That's not the audiobook.
Maybe it's there. They get some DRM or something that makes it sound bad when you record it or something to stop people from recording it. I don't know. Maybe.
Anyway,
who knows? So, anyway, I'll play it and we'll find out for ourselves. Here we go.
Kneeling on the floor of their suite, Tesla Crane could just feel the vibrations of the centrifugal ring as it rotated around the interplanetary cruise ship Lindgren. Or more likely, it was the hum of the air conditioning. The Terran level ring was big enough that even the Coriolis effect was really only noticeable when throwing things. Gimlet, fetch! She threw a chew toy for her Westie, and the little dog charged in the direction the plush sloth had started to go. It curved in the air, leaving the small white dog staring in baffled confusion for a moment before she found it and pounced with enormous ferocity. Tesla used the reprieve to return to stretching. She put her hands on the floor, and her new wedding ring caught her eye with the gleam of platinum iridium, just like the historic kilogram standard, because her spouse knew she was a nerd. Smiling, she lowered her back into the cow position, feeling for twinges as she raised her head. The ceiling had a digital sky shading to an Earth sunset. The simulated clouds changed shape and position in subtle response to an artificial wind. Not bad for a honeymoon.
You know what I'll say? The echo actually made it sound like a ship's computer was reading this to me. I kind of like that.
Yeah. Kind of like that. I got that too, but I just wanted to make it clear that if you
the actual book does not sound like it was recorded in a bathroom.
Okay. Correct. Yes. And I didn't record it. I don't know. Audacity was just not agreeing with me this morning. So
anyway. The audacity of it all. This sounded like some real science fiction going on here, which I'm always into. I have no idea who that is, though. What's the book?
So this is called The Spare Man by Mary Robinette Kowal. And it is science fiction. It is also a murder mystery. Ooh. It's and as a bonus, it takes place on an interplanetary cruise ship, and each chapter starts with a cocktail recipe. Yeah. So it's really fun. Yes. And yes, Dreadnecks, she did write the Lady Astronaut series. This is in sort of the same universe as same timeline as the Lady Astronauts, but there aren't any of your familiar characters in there. But this is written, and also the audiobook is read, performed by Mary Robinette.
Oh, wow.
And it's excellent. And her, as you heard, her voice is very pleasing. She does an excellent job of doing the narration and giving each of the characters a distinct voice. And she's great. I love her writing style. I love all of it. And she's very good at writing sort of a mystery, kind of a whodunit, and also including enough of the science fiction that makes it relevant. It's not just that it's set in space. It's she mentions the Terran level. This ship has multiple levels, and the gravity differs based on what level of the ship you're on.
Well, that's a cool
construct.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So like there's a lunar level, and there's a Terran level, which is Earth. And then there's like a Mars level, and there's a bunch of different levels on the ship, and that becomes relevant to the plot. It's really, really interesting. It's also very, I will say this, if you're a person who is a if you're a person who has issue with diversity and you feel like, you know, roll your eyes at diversity being our inclusive language, this book is not for you. She does a lot of things like referring to people as Mix instead of Miss or Mister. Mm-hmm. You know, pretty much everyone is them everyone is they, them until otherwise. Everyone introduces themselves as a gender, like, you know, she'll say Tesla Crane, she, her, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. So it's very inclusive. Also, the main character, Tesla, is disabled. And so there's a lot of really cool tech around her disability. She has a device that sort of gives her a heads up display of what her pain level is currently without her having to actually feel the pain. It's cool. Oh, wow, I'm like, cool. I want that.
I want that too.
Because that's pain is our body's way of telling us it's an alarm system, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you could just have that alarm system without having to feel the pain, that'd be really cool.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. I would love to be like, you hear about these people that can't feel any pain. It's actually dangerous. They can cut themselves, never mm-hmm. know. Like it's
burn
like that.
Burn themselves because they can't feel.
But if you have other signals that would tell you, it's like, oh yeah, you just burned your arm. Probably want to get that taken care of, but not actually feel the pain. That'd be great. Mm-hmm. I'd be into that.
Yeah.
By the way, thanks for the Coriolis callback. We've had the Coriolis effect keeps right coming up on the show like four times now. It's great.
It's people really want us to make sure we get that right going forward.
No doubt. I know you've talked about her books before, and you mentioned that a minute ago. Where's this on that list? Like, do you have a favorite of hers that you would like?
Oh, huh. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I love all of her stuff, but I would say probably The Faded Sky was the most impactful and affecting so far. But yeah, this is her fourth book in the Lady Astronaut series that I've read, and I've loved all of them. But I would say if I had to pick a favorite of that series, I would say The Faded Sky.
Okay. And we talked about that one, I think, right? That came up here.
Possibly. Yeah, I think so. That's the one where they go to Mars. So,
yeah, I think you did recommend that, if I remember right. Well, awesome. More and more, I'm starting to think I need to read her. You keep recommending her, and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then I kind of don't think about it. But now, you know, maybe I need to check it out.
Yeah, this is her newest one. Like, this one came out this year, and I was really excited to read it. So that's why it came out. And I know on my feedback, somebody was like, stop doing repeat authors. No. I'm going to keep doing, repeat authors because I read what I read, but, this one in particular really got me, and I was like, yeah, I got to read her new book. So I do take the feedback seriously, and I am going to get some more. I have a whole list. And I'm going to get you some more, lesser known titles and authors coming up in the new year. So just tease that out a little bit.
Nice. And this one's called what again? So people can go look it up. The title.
This one is called The Spare Man.
The Spare Man. Everyone needs a spare man, I say. except Chuck. He had a spare man and had it removed.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, Chuck.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, anyway, there you go. Oh, and people are jealous of my hats. I just wanted to share that with you. There are, we've had multiple people come by the house and say, where the heck did you get that? And I said, oh, a friend made it. And they said, no way. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And I said, don't.
What's her number? They keep saying to me. Yeah. And I said, oh, here it is right here.
Yeah. And I say, it's 1-800, try my product. All right. Hey, Amy, it's good having you on as always. And we'll look forward to more in the new year. Anything else you want to mention before we go?
Yeah, I'm so glad that you guys liked them, and I'm glad they finally arrived and everything, and Brian, that yours got there safely and not in pieces. So
it is beautifully holding my frequently enjoyed atomic fireballs. So.
Nice. Yay. A new atomic fireball bowl. And the year's not even over. It's amazing. Yes,
exactly.
Incredible stuff. Amy, have a fantastic rest of your week and the rest of the holidays and the early part of next year. And we'll see you next year right here on
Have Read a this Nappy with Amy. You here.
Bye now. Oh, I'd love a nap. I would love
nappy
a nap.
Nappy new here. You here.
Yeah, new here.
You here.
You here. Hey, you here. Check this out, y'all.
Yes.
Got a couple of texts here to read here.
Okay.
Let's see, where are they?
Be courteous.
Oh, that's the wrong clip thing. Where did my thing go? Oh, there it is. Okay. Here it is. This is a text from Teresa in Minneapolis, Minnesota. This is last week, TMS news item caught my attention because I was in Minneapolis. It was a story about a place selling crustless sandwiches called the Gallant Tiger. I think this is Bobby's episode he was on.
This doesn't sound familiar to me.
Yeah, he says, which also caught my ear because I am a graduate of Minneapolis South High School. And we are all called the Gallant Tigers. What really tickled me was that Scott pronounced it like a former principal that was at South when my son was a student there. The Gallant Tiger with an I. It doesn't have an I. My husband, also a South High Tiger, looked up the restaurant, and sure enough, the owner also went to South. Thanks for bringing back fun memories, Teresa. Well, that's a big high school connection for you there. That's great.
No kidding. It's great.
Yeah, yeah. It's really cold there.
What's funny is you even, again, called it the Gallant Tigers instead of the Gallant Tigers.
I can't help it.
Yeah,
it's just in me.
You're combining, I mean, Gallant or Gallant and Valiant are very similar in meaning. So why not combine them? Why not have Prince Gallant?
Yeah, why not both? Why not both? Except that cartoon sucked. I never liked that. It was too serious. I wanted, you know.
Prince Valiant? Yes, it was the worst. It was the worst comic strip. Never funny. Never.
I didn't ever think it was funny either. I'm glad someone else agreed with me.
Where's the punchline, Prince Valiant?
Yeah, where's the joke in your freaking realistic, dumb history thing? Here's an email. This came to us at themorningstream@gmail.com. It's a little long, but I'm going to read it. It says, hey there, Scott and Brian. I was going to try to keep this as brief as I can. Listening to Brian's recent car debacle on TMS prompted me to reach out. So my car was stolen out of the driveway on 12-2-22. Jeez. And recovered on 12-4. All smashed up. Now here's the thing, guys. I don't know if you have heard about or covered this issue, but I'm about to tell you but I'm begging you that if you haven't, please do. More people need to know, apparently. There's a TikTok video from months ago circulating the web exploiting a massive design flaw in specific yeared Hyundais and Kias. To be clear, my car was a 2019 Hyundai Elantra. In this video, somebody is shown starting one of these cars using an iPhone cable. There's more detail on how it works, but I want to move on, he says. I kind of want to know how that works. Anyway, because of this TikTok video, there's a nationwide shortage on parts to fix these cars. Since 12-5, I have been on an actual journey and have learned a lot. Here in Philadelphia, where I live, I learned that police have no chase laws. So thieves have become way more brazen and auto theft here is through the roof. What the Hyundai done, you might ask.
Yeah. What has Hyundai done, you might ask?
Oh, you know, that's just me reading bad. Then he
what
goes
the
on.
Hyundai?
What the Hyundai? I was like, is he trying to make it into a swear word or something? Anyway, he says nothing. Insurance companies, law enforcement, impound lots, and car dealers are all overwhelmed and ill-equipped right now because of this issue. So many of these people are going through their lot. A lot of them have been waiting months for parts with no end in sight. Add insult to injury. These thieves stealing the cars are posting TikTok videos of themselves in stolen cars, racing them, crashing them, etc. One of these groups posting the videos called themselves the Kia Boys with a Z. I hate that. I hate that edgy. So much. I hate it. Oh my gosh, I hate it so much.
Yeah. There's everything about this I hate.
Yeah, I don't like any of this. And nobody is doing anything to stop it at all. My story ends on 12-22 when my car was declared a loss, which was a huge relief for me and my family. I got very lucky. That means he got the insurance, so that's good.
Yeah.
Odd to say that about a car I invested and took care of for 3 years, but the alternative was the endless nightmare of waiting indefinitely for my car to be fixed, much like what Brian went through. Oh, and my car's lease was up in 3 months. When was the car stolen? I had an appointment the next day to discuss the end of my term options. Thank you for talking. Thank you for taking the time to read this, and I hope you and Brian and the rest of the FilmSack crew and family have a wonderful, safe new year. Seriously, you guys are the best. So this came to the TMS email, not the FilmSack email, but maybe he meant it for that. I don't know. Anyway, Matt from Philly. Well, Matt from Philly, that sucks. Also, I hadn't heard about any of this TikTok business, and I didn't know. I mean, Brian, I don't know if you can find out, but is your car susceptible to some weird iPhone cable thing?
Yeah, that I don't know. And somebody else, like when they found out I had a Kia Soul, they said, hey, you know about the iPhone cable getting into the lock and starting the car thing. And I did a search, and not only can I not find it, but I'm sure it really effed up my algorithm because now I've got people... basically a long string of videos about people hating their Kia Soul.
Oh, really?
Why Kia Soul is the worst car ever. And none of it mentions the USB iPhone cable thing.
Wow.
So, yeah, if somebody has a link to... it is not... My car is not push-button start, dubious rascal. It's a 2014, so it might be out of the model year for these issues. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? I'm looking at they have a YouTube channel.
Dystamina says, the Soul is susceptible. Yes, it's a USB connection hack behind the ignition switch on the steering column.
Jeez, really? That's terrible. That's too easy. Oh, there's tons of these videos. Holy schmoop.
Did you find them? Because I didn't. I did a search for...
Yeah, I found a USB. Collection on YouTube. Here, I'll put it in the chat.
Oh, room. On YouTube, okay.
Maybe yeah, so they're collecting them there, and they're up on their shorts on there, but also some longer form stuff. But basically, this is there's some. Let's see, warning all Kia and Hyundai owners. Like, I think this channel might be
that these buttheads, the Kia boys, even have a USB in their logo. Oh, and they've just. Stolen the logo from the TV series The Boys and just added a Kia logo to it.
Oh, yeah, those dirty bastards. Dirty bastards. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's all very odd. I don't like it. But good luck. with all that. All right, big PSA. There's a bunch of stuff happening. Tonight, Core's final episode of the year. We're going to talk about all our favorite video games that we played, didn't play, all that stuff tonight. It's our big end-of-year roundup. So check out Core at 5 o'clock tonight. The system build I keep teasing for the big giveaway, the $4,000 gaming rig from Doghouse Systems. That system build, the actual live stream of them building it and me hanging out with them and doing a bunch of other prize giveaways, is happening tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., so the normal TMS time, but on Friday. I have a very big Friday. So anyway, that's happening. That'll probably take an hour and a half or so. And we're going to, they're sending live video to me. I'll be there as well. We'll be giving away game codes, copies of Rock Runners, some other physical stuff, bunch of stuff Doghouse has they want to put on the list of giveaways. I've got the Anacrusis, this amazing new game that's coming out soon. I got a bunch of preview codes for that. So anyway, bunch of you will win. Thankfully, Zoe has offered to help me manage the giveaways, so she's going to help me make sure nobody gets screwed in that whole mess. But that'll be tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.
Awfully nice of a person who is outside the U.S. and not eligible to win to help with the winners. I guess maybe that makes her more trustable, right?
100%. She got no skin in this game, you know? Other than she's really nice, and maybe I'll send her some kind of bacon thing, a local bacon delivery.
Send her some bacon. Oh, there's a... I got to find it. There's a restaurant in Vegas that just opened up that is all bacon. And I read some of the things that they have on their menu. Yeah, let's see. Oh, hold on a second.
You're killing me with this. This sounds so good.
This restaurant.
Zoe, if you're coming, I assume
bacon,
you're coming.
Bacon Nation. It's in the D.
In the D.
It's in the D.
It's in the D.
Yeah.
Bacon, bacon, and more bacon. It's at Bacon Nation LV. Let me see the menu here.
Are there just dead people littered all over that place? Because, man, that's a lot of bacon.
I think we're 100% going to breakfast at this place at some point. They do Benny's. Let's see. Maple bacon buttermilk pancakes.
Oh.
Pork belly dippers.
What? I don't even know what that is. That sounds so good.
Just the words pork belly, I'm in.
Yeah. I don't need much else,
burrito,
man.
Burrito, all their burgers have bacon on it. I thought they had, like, there was some, I'll have to find it, but there's some, like, bacon drink they serve or something weird, like.
Yeah, I would
like. Oh, French toast box.
The French toast box.
French toast box.
All right.
French toast box with signature bacon, caramelized bananas, and peanut butter mousse.
Oh, my.
I want to see photos. Photos?
Photos are no sale. Yeah.
Need to see. The hell is a French toast box?
I don't know. Never even heard of that. Unless you're talking about cereal or something.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited about that. That'll be great. I would love to go there.
Yeah. We are in like Flint.
Yeah, we got to do that. Carter will be horrified. That's okay. Let's see. What was the other thing I was going to... Oh, make sure you sign up if you haven't already. Don't do it twice because it disqualifies you. But if you want to win this machine and you live in the Canada or the U.S., you can sign up right now at frogpants.com/doghouse. Super easy. Go do it. Also, playdate Saturday at 1:30 p.m. We're going to be playing that new Among Us mode. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, can't wait to see what that's like.
Yep. So we're doing that 1:30 p.m. And then we have our charity stream over there with the Ritual Misery guys, their yearly thing. We're doing that at 3:30. So Brian and I will roll right into that. So you're welcome to hang about for that as well. We will have Film Sack this weekend, although we're recording it on the 1st on Sunday. On New Year's Day we're recording it. And we're doing the movie Mist. The Mist,
yes.
Yeah, not just Mist. It's an excellent short story from Stephen King and an incredible adaptation by a bunch of great people. It's an amazing movie. I love it. I can't wait. Anyway, there's all that. And then the live build is once again Friday. Make sure you come for that because I really want to see a bunch of you there. That'll do it for us. Patreon.com/TMS is how you support this show directly. Without that support, the show doesn't exist. I mean that quite literally. So please, please help us out. Patreon.com/TMS. We'll never give you an ad. You'll get pre-show content every day. You'll get couch parties on the weekend and these play dates. You'll get art in the mail and more. Find out all that at patreon.com/TMS. That is it. We're out. We're done.
I just sent you a photo of a French toast box. I don't know if this is what they sell at
What?
At this Bacon Nation place, but if it is, I am so in.
Is that real? Is that a thing?
I mean, that's a real thing. I don't know if it's the...
may not be theirs, but man...
It looks like the the Hellraiser box, but made out of French toast.
Yeah, you cut into that and suddenly Pinhead's like, hello, what's up?
Hello, I'm now 400 pounds heavier.
That's right. Where's the one with the teeth chattering and the vagina neck lady? Oh, yeah. Anyway, exciting stuff. Right. Let's get out of here with a song. What do you
got? Let's get out of here. And Saturday is going to be open, everyone. We'll pull patrons in probably beforehand, but it's really like an everyone kind of thing, right?
Yeah, the we definitely show it to everyone. Yeah, we definitely have it public, so it'll just be here on the Twitch channel loop. So please come by. We'd love to have you.
Exactly. All right. Brooke wrote in very early. She wrote in November for a request that was supposed to be on December 13th, but I wasn't in town, I believe. I think that was part of my trip, so I didn't get this one in. Happy birthday to my sperm shooter, Joel. He likes artists such as Jairus Johnson and Creedence Clearwater Revival. Brian, please pick a song you feel he would enjoy. If he doesn't like it, then he can suck it. Love, your pregnant wife, Brooke. Thanks.
Sperm shooter. All right, then. Sounds great, I guess.
Welcome to... Are we in TMS PM yet? Is this PM?
No kidding.
Anyway. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday. Wait, was there a birthday? There was a birthday, right?
There was a birthday, okay. It was Joel's birthday.
All right, I got so thrown by sperm shooter. Yeah, I just got confused. Whoops. Anyway.
Well, maybe I shouldn't use the term glossed over. Yeah. Anyway, how about a cover of a Creedence Clearwater Revival song? This came from an album that John Fogerty put out in 2013 called Wrote a Song for Everyone. And in it, he has a bunch of different guests like Foo Fighters, Miranda Lambert, Tom Morello, a lot of great musicians, and he pulls them in to do covers of Creedence Clearwater Revival songs. This one's great. Bad Moon Rising featuring the Zac Brown Band. It's got a little bit of a country twinge to it. Think you're going to like it. Here's John Fogerty and the Zac Brown Band.
All right, that'll do it. Thanks, everybody. Happy New Year to everyone. We're not going to see you again until next week, but we'll be back. We got shows. Oh, there's currently a petition going around in my own head about whether we're having a show on Monday.
Because
since you and I took like no time off for the holidays, thought maybe we'd take one day. I don't know.
Let's take one day. I'm going to sign the petition take a day off. And
that's so far two out of two. Oh, it's 100%. Right. We've done it. We're not here that Monday. Okay, everybody.
Yep.
That morning, I'm going to lunch or breakfast with my kids. But after that, it's all back to norms and 2023 just bearing down like a big giant hairy monkey. So look forward to that. Thanks for being here. And we'll see you next time.
Life. jump things together. Hope you are quite prepared to die. Looks like we're in for nasty weather. One eye is taken for an eye. Don't go around tonight with this bound.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
You're fired.
Oh, all right.